Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great ESPN podcast, SV Pod. Scott Van Pelt, alongside Stanford Steve, bring you high-level sports analysis as well as stories as two dads raising their kids. Plus, find out every Tuesday what they hate to see if you agree. That's SV Pod. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, offers exclusive content Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Alongside Malika, there will be a full cast of NBA experts and insiders, including Kendrick Perkins, Chinne Agumake, Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, Woj, Ramona Shelburne, and many of our NBA reporters from around the league. Get caught up with the latest from around the NBA on NBA Today on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And also available as a podcast. Listen to NBA Today wherever you get your podcasts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. Coming up on this episode of The Right Time, we're going to talk about the Deshaun Watson trade and what that all means. Yeah, I know, we got to do it again. Also, we have got your stories of getting off that narcotic. But first, all right, so I remember when Aaron Rodgers was trying to decide if he was going to come back to the Packers, everybody was telling us he just wanted to make sure also that all the homies got paid. He wanted to make sure that Devontae Adams got taken care of properly and all of that stuff. And little did we know, Devontae Adams was trying to get the hell out of town. That dude decided that he wanted to go to the Raiders because he played college ball with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is one of his best friends, and therefore he has decided to go there. And, you know, I've kind of felt this way before, but I also kind of feel like this like really drives the point home. Gabe, apparently we need to try to be friends with Derek Carr because he must be like the coolest homie ever. Because the Packers do at least have a chance to win a Super Bowl. They got Aaron Rodgers, and he was like, nah, I want to go hang out with my mans. I want to go play for a team that doesn't play home games. They be having to do the silent count at the crib. That's what I want to do. I was just catching passes from the MVP, and instead, I want to catch passes from the pretty good. That's what Derek Carr is. He's pretty good. You know what I mean? No shade to it. But he must be homeboy Hall of Fame. Like, somebody need to make a movie about these two cats. One of them gets sick and they gonna make a movie like Brian's Song, apparently. I ain't never heard of no bond that was quite like this one. Like, it was one thing when Odell Beckham got traded to Cleveland and Jarvis Landry also went there. Like, yo, it sucks up there. Don't get me wrong. But I just feel like this is entirely different that he decided to make that move. This wasn't one that I think that any of us saw coming. And also interesting to me, for whatever it's worth, if I'm the Packers, I might be riding out and, nah, you're just going to take this franchise tag. And if you want to sit out for a few games, you can and just come back later. Come back fresh, come back rested, get another year toward free agency. All right, homie, you can go ahead and do that if that's what you want. But, I mean, they made the move. They got a fairly big haul back. I didn't know why receivers were making this kind of money right now, by the way. I think, what'd he get, like $28 million a year? No shade. I just didn't know that that was the price that Devontae Adams was going to wind up getting. Good for you, dog. The Raiders, I think, looked around, and they're in a very interesting situation, which is, as I said, they got the pretty good quarterback, okay? Their division right now currently has, for my money, at least 2 quarterbacks who are going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Like, Patrick Mahomes, the discussion is over. He's going to the Hall of Fame. What's his name? Russell Wilson. Pretty sure he's going to wind up going to the Hall of Fame. Justin Herbert looks like a guy that could end up in the Hall of Fame. The Raiders have a pretty good quarterback. And again, I'm not saying that is shade, right? I think there are probably divisions that we could drop Derek Carr off in and he would be the best quarterback. If we dropped him off in the AFC South, for my money, he would be the best quarterback in the division, for example. You know, like, he's all right. But what he also is, he's too good for the Raiders to be like, yo, we got to go get another one. You ain't going to find another one just that easily. Like, the Steelers were in the what do we do post Ben Roethlisberger, and they went and signed Mitchell Trubisky. And again, I'm probably a little higher on that signing than most people are, but that tells you about the point that I'm making here. The Raiders just can't go out there and get themselves a quarterback that's better than the one they have. So what are they doing as a result? Get the best wide receiver you can. You know what I'm saying? Let's make the quarterback as good as we can make the quarterback. And the way that we can do that is paying $30 million for a wide receiver. That's what their option is. Go for it. Make it happen. Okay, cool. Meanwhile, Gabe, do you have any idea like what the Packers' plan is on this?
How much do you think they had an inkling that this was going to happen?
I think they knew. I don't think that there was any measure of surprise. I don't think there was a surprise for Aaron Rodgers. And the reason I don't think there was no surprise from Aaron Rodgers is we know it, right? That ain't a man that suffers in silence. Maybe he going to holler at McAfee later this week and then let us know everything or whatever it is. But I think, at least as far as I can tell, Aaron Rodgers must have operated on a game-recognized game setup on this one, right? Like, okay, this is what you feel like you got to do for you. Then that's what it is. The thing that I actually find interesting about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers is, if there's any dude that's demonstrated to me that he on the Make It Work program, it's him. Think about it this way. All the talk when it was a little dicey for Aaron and the way that he was dealing with the team, a lot of that talk had to do with, and they haven't gone out here and gotten him no wide receivers in the first round of free agency, all that talk, right? But Devontae Adams, the best receiver in the league. Like, it almost doesn't matter where you get, I mean, not almost, it doesn't. It doesn't matter where you get the guy. It matters where the guy ultimately ends up, right? And we can easily use, like, first-round pick as a proxy. Jordy Nelson wasn't a first-round pick. Randall Cobb wasn't a first-round pick. I feel like we can really go back just, like, post-Sterling Sharp and just look at the good receivers they've had, and they've had good ones. Right? You talk about Robert Brooks, Antonio Freeman, you know, go up and down the line. None of those dudes are first-round picks. Like, for whatever it's worth, they figured out how to go get guys that can catch passes, right? They figured out how to get some guys that can turn into stars catching passes. I mean, I can only assume that somebody going to turn up, right? Like, it always seems like the Packers have a pretty good tight end. Is it just because Aaron Rodgers makes everybody seem like they're pretty good? I had never heard of the Lizard King or whatever that dude's name is that plays for them, and I'm not saying that he's great. Was it Lazard? Like, I ain't saying he's great. You know, he looked like an NFL dude when I see him out there. Like, the only guess that I can really make here is that some dude's going to turn up and be that guy, right? Like, somebody's going to emerge and be that cat. And again, I am guessing that Aaron Rodgers must be cool with this. What this tells me is this dude wasn't ever thinking about no damn retirement. You think about it. If Aaron Rodgers is over there thinking about retirement and then he heard that Devontae Adams ain't coming back, he wasn't on no fence. He was always coming back. I'm not necessarily judging him for it because there's, you know, he's trying to hold his leverage with the team. But man, that dude wasn't ever going to go nowhere. Because I'm just telling you right now, if I was thinking about retirement and then my best wide receiver said, yo, I'm out. I ain't thinking about retirement no more. I'm retiring. Thanks for stopping by the booth. It's been real. I also wonder sometimes with Aaron Rodgers on that, honestly, if Aaron Rodgers just look around at his own division and he's like, how can I leave this cakewalk? Who are the other quarterbacks in that division right now? Justin Fields, what the version of him that we have, and I guess we'll see what it turns into, right? But do you remember who their coach is? I knew this. It's Eberflus, the defensive coordinator from the Colts. Matt Eberflus. There we go. All right. Anyway, back to the lecture at hand. Kirk Cousins, they just guaranteed up some more of his money. That's how you know it ain't no quarterbacks, man. Kirk Cousins basically drove the last coach. Like, they fired him, but they was about to drive Mike Zimmer to quit. Mike Zimmer, like, I would love to coordinate against this dude. You know what I'm saying? They had to lock him up because they like, yo, we just can't go out in these streets and find somebody else that we could win as many games with while knowing we're ultimately going to lose. Like, with Derek Carr, I don't know you're ultimately going to lose. I know you ultimately going to lose with Kirk Cousins. Anyway, he the second best quarterback in that division as things stand presently. Because I think your man Jared Goff is still the quarterback up there with the Lions. Like, you Aaron Rodgers, how you walk away from that? How you do that? So, yeah, no, I did not think that was going to play that way at all. I didn't think it was going to go that way. And really, I told you, man, after that Henry Ruggs situation, I'm like, yo, that Derek Carr, stand-up dude, man. Like, I really liked the way that he handled that. I felt good about the way he dealt with that. And it must not be no fraud if this dude willing to come down just because he want to play with Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr ain't even that good. He's pretty good. I just want to make sure this doesn't come across as shade. But it ain't, I'm going to leave Aaron Rodgers to rock with you good. Or, Gabe, maybe Devontae Adams just 100% sick of Aaron Rodgers.
You know, when Rodgers was like coming back and he had that picture of Devontae Adams, space next to him.
Well, apparently that space was for Derek Carr, right? He the one sleeping between y'all. You know what I'm saying? Little did you know. It was Derek Carr. That's why you felt that Jesus in the room, Aaron. Derek Carr brought it right there with him. Like, that may even be it, too. Because, you know, Aaron Rodgers is, like, notoriously not a prayer. And so, you know, Derek Carr, Devontae Adams, Derek Carr might have been hitting him with that Bible game. Did you go to the college? I guess you're on the West Coast, so it may be a little different. But there's always a cat in college that hitting him with that Bible game. Like, that's how they get up with girls. They're like, yeah, well, you know, we can just get together, go to church, whatever. Then they'd be savages just like the rest of us. But anyway, like, maybe that's what it was. Derek Carr, like, I mean, their faith might be their bond. I don't know. I just never heard of a dude going to play with a quarterback because that's my man's. You know, and on one level, I'm like, oh, be careful about that. You know what I'm saying? Working with your friends can be a little bit dicey, except they have worked together. Like, that's how he know him. He know him from work. Those relationships stand the test of time under these circumstances. It's always been bounded by that reality. And so, I mean, finishing third or fourth in the West sound like it might be that game. The West is going to be wild, man. Like, you think about this. These are the Raiders. And Russell Wilson still, it's not even if he has something left in the tank, because he has something. How much he has left in the tank is the question. And I don't have a great answer for that one myself, right? The problem with the Chargers, of course, is that they're the Chargers. And then there's the Chiefs, who quietly have won the division 6 years in a row. 6 years in a row. That is bananas. Like, them 4 o'clock games going to be hitting this year. That's like one of the best things ever for the NFL. Like, knowing, because you know them California games, they always got the one game that everybody gets, and then the other game, which used to always involve the Arizona Cardinals. America will get the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers, except for those of you in Arizona and Seattle. Right? You pull up the coverage map and it just be them two little lonely dots sitting right there. Nah, man. They rolling with this. So, NFL, I give you credit, man. NCAA tournament going on right now. I ain't really got nothing to talk about except for, if you thought St. Peter's was an HBCU, I wouldn't blame you. I'm looking at that squad. I'm loving that. I'll just mention this right fast before we go to the next thing, Gabe. The way everybody is kind of trying to tiptoe around what we can all see, which is them boys look kind of hard. Like, oh, those are New York City kids out there. It's New York and Jersey kids. Those are tough kids. Like, all of that stuff. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We saying the same exact thing. We ain't saying nothing different. Just nobody knows how to put it. And to be honest, I don't exactly know how to put it either. But if that's the HBCU of Jersey City, you learn something new every day, and I'm not terribly surprised. There's a lot of places that are like the HBCU of blank in places that don't have HBCUs. Like, I'm not totally familiar with this school, but I have been told. And just to be clear, this person did not tell me, but my man Vinny is a graduate of Eastern Michigan University, which my understanding is that's like the HBCU of Michigan. Gabe, in LA, it used to be Cal State Dominguez Hills. I don't know what it's looking like over there right now, but that used to be like the local HBCU. St. Peter's looking like they got a step team. Not mad. Not mad at all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, so I wanted to put something else at the top because I mean, we've talked about Deshaun Watson last week with me and Foxworth. And since he and I talked about this, the Browns made the trade to get Watson. And you know my feeling about the idea that these teams have jumped on it. But when me and Dominique were talking, I had no idea that he was going to wind up with $230 guaranteed $1 million. You got to remember, this dude just signed a market value contract like 2 years ago. What's wild about this to me is not simply that teams were lining up to trade for him. It's that he had this level of leverage to be able to pull this off. Now, my big level statements about this at this point, it's just like the league. It's the way this looks for the entire league. The 13 teams are strolling up to try to get Watson to the point where he could actually get another contract out of the deal from a team that is already giving up a crazy amount of draft capital in order to keep him. Like, I'm not exactly sure what kind of team they're supposed to be building around him in order to get him. You know, like there's so much that's happening there. But the leverage part comes in when we start discussing this idea of extensive investigation, because the Browns have said that they extensively investigated this. Watson's people will tell you that teams have looked into this and they have not found anything. And that may be the case, right? Maybe they have really gotten down there, gotten their hands dirty, really done as strong an investigation as they possibly could on this. And they found out that everything that's being said about Watson is a big old hunk of poppycock. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But somebody needs to say that. And that's where everybody looks terrible in this. And where the leverage part trips over is this. And I think I saw this. Lindsey Jones wrote this. I may have it wrong. She does have a story that's worth checking out. But I was reading somebody who made a very good point, which was if there are 13 teams lined up to get Watson, 13. Maybe all 13 got in there, did a like for real deal investigation, and they all found out the same thing, that this is all bunk and that there's nothing to it. What I'm saying is, if you really want a quarterback and you know there are 12 other teams in line, you're not able to walk into no meeting with Deshaun Watson demanding answers, right? Like, that was the point they were making, is that if these teams are dealing with him, and they say, well, he assured us that he wants to be a pillar of the community and everything else. What leverage do you have as the Browns if you're willing to give up 3 first-round picks and pay all this money? Were you really in there being like, you're going to have to tell me what's going on, son? And whatever you tell us, we're going to go check in behind you. You don't have the time and ability to go check in behind him, because by the time you do that, somebody else is going to jump to the front of the line that's willing to just say, yo, we'll roll the dice on this. You know, so everybody's going to come out and give kind of the same statement about it, that, yeah, we looked into this and we found nothing. And again, it's entirely possible that they found nothing. But whose word am I supposed to trust on that?
Well, did you see John Barr's tweet from yesterday saying that Tony Busby, the attorney for the 22 women, said to him that no NFL teams had reached out to him or his clients in the efforts to research Watson?
I did see that. But see, the problem is, Tony Busby is another person that I find to be utterly untrustworthy. But I am inclined to believe that the investigation wasn't as thorough as people say. Here's the thing you got to realize about the teams and the league. What do they get out of getting to the bottom of this? What they get from getting to the bottom of this is the ability to perhaps protect themselves against something like this happening again if something happened. They're not going to demonstrate no interest in showing they own dirt. There are no neutral parties involved in investigating this once the league gets involved and it involves a star player, because what happens after the fact affects the league. As much as they believe that we'll put up with just about anything, they still don't like to look bad. And so exposing a dude that we thought 2 years ago was a pillar of the community, right, who does a lot of incredible charitable work and all of that stuff, they don't get nothing out of exposing him. They don't get anything at all. But quarterback scarcity being what it is, teams didn't have the leverage with him. And by the way, I want to say this about David Mulgeta, right? The dude took an open box special and reset the whole market with him. The whole market. I'm just saying that if a lawyer gets somebody like a not guilty off of something like this, they become that dude. You know what I'm saying? They become that lawyer, the one everybody got to call. This is how I'm looking at him as an agent. These white dudes don't like to hire a black agent. Psh, you better go call Dave. You must be crazy if you don't call. Do you see what he did for this guy? And keep in mind, none of us think Deshaun Watson is the best quarterback in the NFL. How many of you think Deshaun Watson is one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL? And I'm not saying that he's not, but I'm saying he's not indisputably a top five quarterback, right? I don't think he's better than Mahomes. I don't think he's better than Aaron Rodgers. Start going up and down the list of quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't think he's better than Lamar Jackson, right? I don't think he's better than Josh Allen. And I can't believe I've reached that point of saying that, but I don't think he's better than Josh Allen. None of this is to shade him. All of this is just to make the point to you that a dude that might not even be a top five quarterback in the NFL had the leverage to get a $230 million guarantee on his contract, even though he already has a contract and has a potential suspension looming over him. Part of that, beast agent. Other part, us, the collective, for being willing to engage in such a way where something like this is even possible. Now, I found it somewhat compelling, the argument that, do you think all these teams would be in line to sign him or to trade for him if they really believed that he had done something wrong? And I do think that's a fair point to make. I don't know if I've gotten so cynical to the point that I would think that 13 teams would disregard something where they really think something foul happened. That's a lot to have. However, nobody's earned any trust here, man. Nobody has. I also think there's a possibility in this. And I was talking to somebody else about this, and they made a good point. When you go through the 22 allegations, they are of varying degree. All 22 aren't the same. Some of them are particularly heinous. Some of them obviously do not get to the direction of being criminal, but still don't seem right. You know, you've got women in the sample who also continue to work with Watson after the fact, but you also have people who send text messages like, yo, everybody know he'd be out here making people uncomfortable. The question, I think, for a lot of people in this is, how wrong is the he be making people uncomfortable part of it? Like, I think that that's a fundamental thing in this. And when we start talking about whether or not people believed that somebody, quote unquote, did something wrong. And the handle I get from looking at the Watson stuff and the ways that his people are handling this. Let's say Watson calls for a massage. Okay. Let's say he starts trying to get it cracking. The woman says no. He says massage over. The woman leaves. There are a lot of people who hear that and say, what's the problem? And there are a lot of people who hear that and hear me say that there are people hearing that saying, what's the problem? Who are like, see, and this is what I be talking about, right? It's almost, at least it feels to me that a lot of those people who are like, he ain't really doing nothing wrong or whatever it is, are operating on the worst she can do is say no program. And at least me, 2017, I thought was like the teaching time for, that's not necessarily the worst that's going on here. And so whether you think it's criminal or anything else, much of what's alleged seems wild and decent. Like, I didn't think it was ever anything that merited a criminal trial or going to court. And that's why I've said from the beginning that I did not think that mattered. Like, I did not think that the idea that it wasn't a criminal thing, that's not what we're talking about here, all right? And the grounds and the ways that you could wind up embarrassing the team is not about whether or not it's criminal. Like, all those things seem to still be in play. But I bring all that up to say, it is entirely possible that Watson and all his people legitimately don't believe that he has done anything wrong. Legitimately believe it. And that's, to me, is where I would give pause if I were a team thinking about signing him. Because if he doesn't think he did anything wrong, then there's no reason for him to stop doing what it was that he was doing. And the risk involved in the ways that even his people would probably cop to his behavior just seemed to be a recipe for disaster on the back end. And somebody still guaranteed him $230 million. They still did. And that's wild, man. And guess what? That last part ain't Deshaun Watson's fault. That last part is not on him. But from what we've got out here right now, it's just very difficult to believe that there's not something for which someone should take some measure of accountability. The other part of it that I do find to be interesting and I think can get kind of lost is that while Watson's people insist he didn't do anything wrong, they sure do seem to believe he's going to be suspended. Structure of the contract indicates at the very least they are hedging against the risk of suspension. It's only $1 million on the first year. So if he gets suspended this year, you get docked by the game check. You know, that's how it goes. But I want to know this, and I haven't seen this part. Gabe, you know they set it up to where they could rescind all guarantees and contracts if you have been suspended. The holdup in the Randy Gregory contract, in fact, was that the Cowboys go the extra mile and say if you've been fined, they can take back your guarantees. Which, if you're Randy Gregory, oh no, we can't make this standard no more sensitive than it already is, right? So are the Browns going to be able to yank back the guarantees in the event of a suspension? I bet not. I bet you there's a clause in this contract that does not allow them to do that. Right? Maybe there's not. I don't know this. But that would be something that would need to be dealt with. Mulgetta too good to not take care of that part, you know? But hey, his people don't think he did anything wrong. But what are they going to say if there's a suspension? Right? That would imply something. And if you're the league and you're going to suspend him, he's got to tell you he did something wrong, right? Because otherwise, there's no corrective measure that'll take place. But it is wild to me. And the part that I can wrap on is the idea that all the discussions that we've had and everything else, and it's still hard to get people to understand while Watson is not some dude walking around with a ski mask snatching people up off the street, right? Perhaps you don't view him as a predator in the connotations that come with the term. But after all these discussions and the obvious discomfort that so many women have in talking about Watson, people still out here also, I don't see what the big deal is. I mean, that's a little unsettling. And also tells me the thing that I learned in the course of this that I really didn't realize was just how many of y'all out here getting nasty massages.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
If you haven't heard, it's brought to you by the new Love Your Car Guarantee from CarMax. CarMax, here to innovate.
We know you can't be on top of all the news and information of the day. No need for the social media feeds. We got you. Now, if you haven't heard.
All right, Bo, this first story comes from business.
Jonathan Franklin, NPR News. Uber and Lyft announced this week that customers will start to have to pay a bit more for their rides, as the two are adding what's now called a temporary surcharge to all rides and services in order to deal with the rise in gas prices nationwide. Uber customers will now have to pay a surcharge of either 45 cents or 55 cents on each trip, while Uber Eats deliveries will include a charge of either 35 cents or 45 cents on each order, depending on the location. Lyft will also do as such and will add a 55 cent fuel surcharge to each ride over the course of 60 days. Both companies say that 100% of all money from the rides and deliveries given from Uber and Lyft will go directly to its drivers. Uber says its surcharge, though, will not apply to rides that begin in New York City or Uber Eats deliveries within New York City limits due to drivers there receiving a 5.3 increase to the city's minimum earnings standard this month.
All right, so here's this thing about living in New York City. I have no idea what gas costs. Like, I keep hearing people like, yo, gas prices are going sky high. Nothing has affected my life less than hearing about gas prices. I have not owned a car in 5 years. And not only that, when you in the city, it's not just that you ain't got a car. You don't just like run up on gas stations. Like, I know where a couple of them are in the city, but you don't just walk past and see gas prices. I have no clue what gas is going for. But apparently, it's really bad and it's really hitting people up. But again, within the context of New York City, I have this question about Uber and them talking about that increased gas surcharge. Because I live in New York City, my Uber Eats driver isn't always driving a car. You know what I mean? It's a bicycle city for deliveries. I really don't understand how people do car deliveries in New York. That's just too hard. Got to find a place to park, all that stuff. That just seems ridiculous to me. Got to be hard on your car, hard on your tank, as they talking about. So, you know, most people out here delivering on bikes. And these better not be charging me no 45 cents for gas on the bike. And you know they will.
What's your level of satisfaction with the bike delivery person?
They all right. Like, the thing with New York is you got to be real careful how you read that map, right? You got to be real careful about how far away your delivery is. Because nothing's far, but everything takes a long time. You got to be on top of it. But nah, they be out here vroom vrooming on them electric bikes, getting it around. Watch your receipt. Bet you they're going to try to put 45 cents on it. Watch your receipt. By the way, what gas hitting for where you live, by the way?
479.
Yo! 479?
Yeah, and it's 679 where my folks are in the Bay Area.
Oh, wow. This is really bad. I'm sorry.
In LA, I think it's even more expensive. I think I was seeing almost around $7-$8.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that we was at Hurricane Katrina prices. I just knew that it was bad. Oh, wow. Hey, man, people say they've been riding the Pelotons. You better put that stuff on the road. We about to have the thickest thigh generation ever by the end of 2022. A gas costs $7 a gallon.
Our next story also comes from business. Here it is.
This is Betsy Klein with CNN at the White House, where President Joe Biden signed an executive order this month establishing the first ever federal strategy on cryptocurrencies. 16% of Americans have invested in, traded in, or used cryptocurrencies, but there really hasn't been significant federal oversight until now. In his executive order, Biden ordered the exploration of a digital currency operated by the U.S. Central Bank. That opens up the research and development for the possibility of a digital dollar. It also encouraged regulators to identify and help mitigate the risks of cryptocurrencies to the financial system and the economy more broadly by identifying those risks and developing policy recommendations to close regulatory gaps. Biden's measure focuses on six key areas: consumer and investor protection, financial stability, illicit finance, U.S. leadership in the global financial system and economic competitiveness, financial inclusion, and responsible innovation. The White House says that altogether, these moves will help protect consumers and advance U.S. competitiveness.
Isn't my dollar digital now? That's the part that I get a little bit lost on in some of this is, like, how often, I mean, I pay cash every now and then, but I feel like my dollar been on computer for 25 years. Like, I just feel like we doing stuff just to do it to a degree. I think there's probably something fundamental here, obviously, that I do not understand, and I am here for all of you to explain it to me. Like, I understand the blockchain. I understand NFTs. I understand cryptocurrency. But I also feel like my dollar is digital as it is. Can you help me? The Fed had, like, given their pros and cons earlier this year for the digital dollar. No one has explained to me how this is going to make my life better. Hold on. Here we go. So what they're saying is, so what if you didn't need to go through your bank or a third-party platform to pay or store your money? That's what the digital dollar would promise. CBDCs could bypass the traditional banking system by allowing money to flow directly between parties, just like exchanging cash or transferring funds electronically. And I gotta say, Gabe, I ain't out here like loving the banks, but I ain't really never had no problem with the stuff they talking about right there. I haven't needed to improve upon that.
Maybe if anything, it gives us more bargaining power because then we're less apt to pay fees.
Ah, okay. I mean, I'm just sorry. It just don't feel right. Plus, you don't like the way money smell? Am I the only person that like that smell of money? Like, does money smell good or does money just smell like money? And therefore, even when it's old.
New fresh money smells good, but then old money smells like it was someone else's money.
Yeah, but it still smells like money.
All right, this last story also comes from business. Here it is.
Hey, Bomani, this is Aaron Gordon from Motherboard Vice's Tech and Science website here, telling you about a story I wrote earlier this week about how AMC, the movie theater chain, purchased a 22% stake in a gold and silver mine in northern Nevada. Now, you may be thinking, what is a movie theater chain doing buying a gold mine? And the answer is pretty much exactly what you think a movie theater chain is doing buying a gold mine. It's trying to impress stockholders and potential investors. So if you know anything about AMC, you probably know one of two things about it. You know it's a movie theater chain. Maybe you've gone to see a movie in their big comfy seats. Or maybe you know that it's one of 2021's most notorious meme stocks, in which basically ordinary people we call retail investors decided to pump up the company's stock to shove it to Wall Street, basically. And it kind of worked, it kind of didn't work, depends on your perspective on these things. But AMC's entire logic for buying this gold mine is that it knows how to mobilize the market, as it put it, or basically how to turn bad stocks into meme stocks. And while you may be thinking, hey, gold, pretty solid asset to be invested in, right? It turns out lots of people invest in gold, and Hycroft Mining was not doing so hot for very good reasons. The reasons being that it seems to be very difficult to get out of the ground. Multiple times, Hycroft Mining has stated that they have some new technique to be able to get that gold out of the ground. And each time investors are disappointed, which is why its stock was hovering around 33 cents at the time AMC decided to purchase a stake in it. At the time I was writing the article, Hycroft's stock did go up to $1.78 a share. So you could say that worked, although at the same time, AMC's stock was down. So it depends, again, on your perspective on these things, of what it actually means to work when you buy stake in a new company. Either way, AMC is talking a big game about it. They think the efforts will be, quote unquote, quite lucrative for shareholders, even though they do acknowledge that it is odd for a movie theater chain to be buying stake in a gold mine. 2022, I guess. Welcome to a very logical free market we live in.
I don't know why it just feels so old school to be like, yo, let's go buy a gold mine. Not that it doesn't seem like a good idea. It's just after we out here talk about AMC became so like futuristic just because of the way that, you know, all the stuff happened with the stock. It was so decidedly 21st century. And now they're like, nah, man, we going to buy a gold mine, a gold mine. Everything just feels like fiction, man, but ain't nothing realer than gold. And as my man, the Kang, Sasha Cargill, used to always say, when things are going bad in the world, the price of gold goes up. The idea that AMC went and bought a gold mine means somebody told them it's about to be all messed up, dog. Big old gonna be hitting, man. Hitting. Moving for big prices. Big prices.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hey, this is Bomani. You have reached the right time voicemail. Say whatever you want. Get creative with it. But this is your place to talk back to the show. So talk back. Peace.
All right, Bomani. So lots of movement happening around the NFL. Russell Wilson leaving his longtime franchise. Browns dealing for Deshaun Watson. I thought it would be a good time to break out the what caused you to quit your team, what caused you to get off your narcotic, because that's usually, I feel like, what does it for people is like the player movement or the lack of player movement that caused you to be like, nah, this ain't for me. I'm better than that. Yeah. Happened a little bit different for you with the Falcons, obviously.
Dog fight.
Yeah. But you know what? This was actually money topic because we got a lot of good ones. Our first one comes from Juwan in Virginia. Here it is.
What's up, Gabe? What's up, Bo? Used to be a big Syracuse fan until 09. Watched that 6 overtime game. Was at the American Family Fitness gym watching that game well over midnight. Left, tried to call my girl. She didn't believe I was out watching that game past midnight at the gym. I thought about it. She was right. I should not have done that. I have not watched a Syracuse game since. And I'm telling you, it's because of the zone. Ain't no way you play man-to-man and you go no 6 overtimes. The zone is for cowards. Off that narcotic. Peace.
Johnny Flynn broke up his happy home. She thought he was cheating. Like, I feel like in the internet era, all you had to do was show her the box score. No, really, 6 overtimes. Like, I was at the game. The game got rained out. No, you ain't have to. It wasn't even that, dog. Damn. Be right, though. They don't need the roof of those suckers.
Staying at the gym, though, and watching the game. Being like in the locker room. All right, 5 more minutes. I'm going to give you 5 more minutes.
I mean, they all thought they was about to go, but they wasn't.
All right, this next one, this guy didn't leave his name, but it has to do with the Royals. Here it is.
I grew up a Kansas City Royals fan, moved down to Tulsa in 2007. I could not get those games on TV. Tulsa is part of the Royals' home market. Could not get it on MLB Extra Innings. It was blacked out, so I called the Royals head of their TV contract and talked to them, and they basically told me, we don't need you. So I was done with them.
First of all, as I recall, the 2007 Royals, they were probably doing you a favor. Number two, I feel like you took, I'm going to speak to your manager, to a whole nother level. Did he say that he called the person that ran their TV contract?
He did.
Yo, yeah. He called the manager and wanted to talk to his manager. Wow. And they told you, oh, well.
That is a different level going into this that I had not quite considered, is like the actual, you had an interaction with said franchise and that turned you off.
I also want to know what he said before they said they didn't need him. Because I get the feeling from his tone, it was not, I can't assume that the conversation was a polite.
You would assume correct. All right, this last one comes from Mondo in Indy.
Used to be a Colts fan, so I was kind of spoiled with Peyton Manning and then Andrew Luck right after that. Loved Andrew Luck, wasn't disappointed by his retirement, but then I saw all the Colts fans booing him inside their own stadium where he sacrificed, I don't know how much, but to the point that he was peeing blood. I mean, how are you going to boo a man that gave everything to your franchise like that? After that, I just had to stop rooting for the Colts, hopped up the narcotic, and I've been chilling ever since. I still live in Indy, and I see these Colts fans sad whenever, we're there to the 6th starting quarterback now since he left? I don't know. I'm just chilling while that's all happening.
Yo, man, there's nothing like when you have to get off a narcotic, because like somebody once told me something about cocaine that I'll never forget. And he said, worst thing about cocaine is the people that you meet while you use cocaine. Something to that, apparently. I don't play the cocaine game, so I don't know this firsthand. But anybody I've repeated this line to who knows the cocaine game has agreed that there is, in fact, something to this. And that can be the case also with your favorite musical artist and often your favorite team. You just don't want to be part of that crew. You just don't want to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of where I got with the University of Texas. They out here defending that damn song. I can't be down with y'all no more. I got a brand. But hey, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this 3 times a week. Gabe Bassain handling everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Also, thank you to our If You Haven't Heard contributors. Thanks to Jonathan Franklin of NPR. Check out his story on Uber and Lyft adding fuel surcharges as them gas prices go up. Thanks to Betsy Klein of CNN. Check out her story about the United States thinking about a digital dollar. And thanks to Aaron Gordon of Vice News. Check out his story on AMC, the movie theater, buying a gold and silver mine. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.